Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Let us start in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your throne and we bless you and we thank you, Father, for another wonderful week. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to enter your rest. And we thank you, Father, for everything that your Shabbat represents, especially as family members in your soon coming kingdom. Father, we thank you for the wonderful rain from heaven. And we thank you, Father, for everything that you're doing here with the sons of men in the last days. We thank you for each and every person here and everybody that will hear this message later as we go through the book of Revelation and see it opening before our eyes. So, Father, we give you all praise and honor and glory. In the name of your Son, Yeshua, we pray. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, last week we went over Revelation 17. And I think between Revelation 17 and 18, both on Babylon, I think 17 is probably a little harder to discern just because it has to deal with history, you know, and five were, one is, one's to come, those kind of things like that. But I think as we get into Revelation 18, there's really no doubt in the mind what's happening here and who is end time Babylon. Like we've said, we have many, many messages, Bible studies, all kinds of things on end time Babylon being United States of America. And I think this chapter is kind of like the closing argument for showing that Babylon can only be one nation. The other thing, as we said all along, through this study we've been doing months now on the book of Revelation, is it's really, really exciting to live in this time and see the book of Revelation being opened before our eyes. So there are certain books in the Bible, and every book in the Bible always has a meaning at one time or another. If you remember in our class with AB on Sunday, remember he was saying one of the points of those 4 points he was going over is that basically all scripture is contemporary. So meaning that any scripture at any given time, you can assess it to the current time you're living in. You know, that it's so it's limitless, even though it specifically has a point, right? David and Goliath, it's a real story. It happened at a certain time. There were real consequences there. But you could read that story and relate it to something in your life. You know, there could be a giant you're fighting in your life dealing with something. So when we're looking at Revelation, it's a book just like the book of Daniel, much of the book of Isaiah, that although there's lessons you can get for any time, it also is literally for a specific time, the time we're living in now. So I find it extremely exciting to go through Revelation as we're living it, as you're seeing these things happening, and some of the things we know are going to happen very, very soon. Revelation 11, 12, 13, all these things that are happening. But there's nothing that is, as far as the sense of fulfilled prophecy, that's more exciting than reading Revelation 17 and 18. Because like I said, 100 years ago, you couldn't know who Babylon was. So these things of Babylon being a church, like I said, number one, church is something that comes later from 3rd, 4th, 5th century. There's no such word in your Bible as church. It's a pagan word. It comes from a deity called Circe. In the Bible, the word we have is congregation, idah, you know, in the Hebrew. But church is something, because church connotates a building, where idah connotates the people. So it's the same way now with thinking that Babylon is a Catholic church or something like that. That came from the Protestant Reformation 500 years ago. And like I said, if you were back then and you were being persecuted by the Catholic Church, you probably thought, wow, it really fits. But 500 years later, let's be honest, it's actually is ridiculous for somebody to say that the Catholic Church is end time Babylon. When you're looking at the characteristics of Babylon being the most, the military might of the world, right? And granted, Rome is a country, they are a separate, or not Rome, but the Vatican is a separate country from Italy. They do have a guard, you know, they have a couple guys to stand out there, but they are certainly not the number one military in the world. They're not the hammer of all the earth. They're not sending military into all these places to attack it. All the nations of the earth do not meet in Italy. They meet at the United Nations in New York. And as we're going to see here, the economic power of Babylon, the two most even though there's 100 different characteristics that we see about Babylon, she's a new superpower on the earth, the newest one. Babylon has a mother, same way America had Great Britain. Babylon, you know, is a democracy, like it talks about in Isaiah 47. But the two most important characteristics or overwhelming characteristics are two things. Number one, Babylon is the economic steam engine of the world. And come on, there has never, ever, ever been an economic system like we see today. You know, when you're looking even at world empire, there weren't even a lot of world empires in the world. But to think of a world empire where you have trillions of dollars and just like hundreds of thousands of containers being shipped daily and weekly and monthly. The world has never seen a trading system like we have today. Nothing even close to it. Absolutely nothing. I mean, you come here to the Middle East and we think it's amazing when we're looking at the caravan routes of the Nabataeans. And it was pretty amazing in that day. You know, to come with hundreds of camels and to be coming from the area of southern Jordan and some of these areas out there and come all the way across and go over the sea and wind up even reaching Greece with some of these spices and different things was amazing that day. But the world has never, ever, ever seen an economic steam engine like the United States has created. And I'm going to go over some of these numbers that are absolutely shocking. And like I said, America was not Babylon 200 years ago. Babylon is end time Babylon. That's why it's called the daughter of Babylon, because there are seven trading systems, seven world empires that are symbolically called Babylon. But there is also a literal country. Babylon is a land in the end time, and there's only one land that fits all of these things. You know, like I said, sometimes the newest thing, Babylon is Saudi Arabia. It's like people just can't accept the simple truth of something. You know, or even the most absurd that thing that I've heard, Babylon being Jerusalem. I mean, if you think about that, because as we went over last week, that Babylon is the most wicked, evil, sinister thing in the mind of Yahweh. It's got every filth and abomination, and Yahweh is going to destroy it forever. There will not be one person living in Babylon for eternity, and there couldn't be different than Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the opposite. It's the city where Yahweh is going to dwell forever. It's the city that is our inheritance with Yeshua, the actual dowry that Yeshua is going to give. So this is why I say sometimes things really aren't as complicated as they seem, especially when you don't just have to open up your Bible and guess it. As we're going to see here, you can open up a Wall Street Journal and it will tell you the facts are the facts. They don't change. There's only one country that even remotely fits all of these scriptures that we're going to go over. So let's start in Revelation 18. And after these things, I saw another cherub coming down out of heaven, having great authority, and the earth was lighted up from his glory. And he cried in a strong, great voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. It is fallen. And it has become a dwelling place of those possessed by demons, and a home of every foul spirit, and a home of every unclean bird, even the home of every unclean and hateful beast. So clearly, again, we see Babylon is a land. It's a dwelling place, right? But what is it the dwelling place of at this point? It's a dwelling place of every demon and every foul spirit. And I don't think that America has got to this point yet, but they're getting there. They're getting there. Because, I mean, you just look at in the last, let's say, 3 to 5 years, the amount of demon possess things that are going on in America is just shocking. You know, it's everywhere you look. Somebody is killing somebody, you know, raping somebody, all of this stuff. And it's not just crime. It's not just violent crimes. There's a lot of it that literally is dealing with demon possession. People running around naked, you know, like jumping into windows of cars. And then even when the cops are shooting the people, they're getting up with bullets in them. A human being can't do that. So literally, as the scripture says here, and it does say Babylon the Great, Babylon the superpower, right, has fallen. It is fallen. Usually whenever you see something like that twice, it always has to deal with dual prophecy, you know, showing that Babylon would not only be Iraq in the Middle East, which, again, would be absurd to think that Babylon today in the Middle East, the country of ancient Babylon, is the number one military might in the world and the number one economic power in the world and all those things. It just isn't there. But if we go to Isaiah 21, verse 6 and 9, Isaiah 21 and verse 6 and 9, "For so Yahweh has said to me, go, set a watchman. He will declare what he sees. And he sees a chariot, a couple of horsemen," right? So very interesting. So when this is happening here in Isaiah 21, we're seeing horsemen. In Revelation, what do we have? We have four horsemen. So he sees a chariot, a couple of horsemen, a chariot of a donkey, a chariot of a camel. "And let him give ear attentively," very attentively. "And he cried, a lion, Yahweh, I always stand on my watchtower by day, and I am stationed at my post all the nights. And behold, here comes a chariot of a man, a pair of horses. And he answered and said, Babylon has fallen, just like we just read. And he has smashed the graven images of her gods to the earth." So that's another thing we see, that Babylon is mad in her idolatry. And the idolatry has to do with all types of graven images. And it's very interesting, because what is a graven image? A graven image is something that is made out of metal, right? And if you look in America, all of these gadgets they had, all the smartphones, all of the computers, all of them are all made out of metal. And they really are. They don't necessarily have to be a graven image, but to many people they are a graven image. Because if you're addicted to something, then it's an idol. And, you know, as we've been seeing with some of those things we've been watching, believe me when I say it's worse than what you're even seeing. Because when you're seeing something, you know, like a short video or something, they're really not telling you at all. But when you think that, you know, I don't know what it is, 80%, 90% of Americans are on some form of social media, and you see the addictive process to it, and you see the lack of self-control, then I can guarantee you it's much, much, much worse. And just think like that the man was saying on the video. Think about if it was, take social media out of there and put in the word casino. Say that 90% of Americans were going to casinos every single day, and they were waking up in the middle of the night and running to a casino, and there was a casino in every single town, so you didn't have to go that far. Would it be an epidemic? You'd have a real big problem on your hand. And this is worse than a casino, because like I said, you can't carry a slot machine around your back, but you certainly can carry the iPod, you know, around your back, so or around your hand. And it is something that really, the idolatry that's there is actually absolutely shocking. Jeremiah 51:37. It says, "And Babylon shall become heaps, a home for jackals, a horror and a hissing, without even one inhabitant." Just like we're reading over here, it's become the dwelling place of those possessed by demons, and the home of every foul spirit, and a home of every unclean bird, and the home of every unclean and hateful beast. And here it's saying the same thing, that it becomes the home for jackals. And getting to hear the way jackals, they don't sound too enticing, right? I wouldn't want to have a feast of jackals because they howl, they sound real creepy even. So it's not something you would like. Verse 3, Revelation 18. "Because of the wine of the anger of her fornication, which all the nations have drunk, even the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth became rich from the power of her trade." And our footnote says, Babylon is the world's engine of the economic machine and the biggest importer and exporter nation. Only the USA fits this criteria. So very clearly here, it's pretty simple, that all the merchants of the earth became rich from the power of her trade. And like I said, if China went down tomorrow, would the world miss a beat? Well, you'd have a blip in the world economy, but certainly you wouldn't have a crash of the whole system. If the same with Germany and the same with Russia, really be honest, what country is buying all the products. It's one country. It's United States. They're the ones that are buying all the products. And that's why the merchants of the earth became rich from the power of her trade. And as we're going to see, the merchants of the earth are crying and sighing. Why? Because no one's buying their merchandise. So it's just not about producing, which Babylon also does, but it's about purchasing power and buying power that comes in. Jeremiah 50 and verse 8. Jeremiah 50. Whoop, you know what? No, I'll wait. I'll wait to, for the next verse for this. And verse 4. And I heard another voice out of heaven saying, leave the land of her, my people, that you may not share in her sins and that you may not receive of her plagues. And many translations say, come out of her. But if you look that phrase up, it's literally talking about to literally leave the land of someplace, to leave a physical place. So it's not just a spiritual condition, because many times when people come to faith, many churches will go to this verse and they'll say that. They'll say, when you leave Sunday keeping and you leave Christmas and you leave all the paganism, that you're leaving Babylon. And maybe to a degree, religious confusion of false religion, but that is not what the scripture is saying. It's not telling you to leave Sunday worship or to leave Christmas and Easter. You can apply it to that if you want to as an analogy. But if we want to state that what the scripture is literally saying, it is literally saying to leave the homeland of Babylon. Babylon is a physical land, so it's got to be somewhere, because there is more said about end time Babylon than any other place on earth except for Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the only city that's mentioned more than end time Babylon in scripture. So it's not a small point. May have been a small point hundreds of years ago, but it's not a small point for us living in the last generation when we see this. And he clearly says, why does he tell her people? Leave the land of her, my people, that you may not share in her sins and you may not receive of her plague. Because, you know, the Bible says, Romans 13, we have to obey the civil authorities. And yet, when you're in Babylon and you're paying taxes and you're going to the store and you're buying, right? You're buying toilet paper and you're buying food and you're paying your electric bill. Everything you're paying is also paying taxes. And those taxes are going to abort babies. Those taxes are going toward the number one military might in the world that the next 10 countries together don't spend as much as what America spends in military. America was making a big deal this last year because China's military budget, I think it went up to something like $40 billion. And it was never that high. And they were all complaining and they got to stop China. This year, America's military budget is $740 billion. Might even be over $800 billion. Billion. Just the military in 1 year. So it's more than the next 10 put together. So like I said, let's be honest about it. There really is no way to miscalculate who Babylon is, because it's important to Yahweh, because it's important to his people. Because like he said, that Babylon is destroying the souls of his people. And yet when we look all around the earth, what's happening? The work of Yahweh is growing every single place. I told you, a week or a couple of weeks does not go by where I'm not getting brand new emails from pastors, from congregations that want to join this work. You know, I literally, in 2019, I could go all year long just traveling around the world to new places. I'm going to go to as many as I can, but I can't go to all of them. The only place that's not happening is Babylon. Babylon's the only place where people are falling away. They're not coming to faith. And it's sad. It's sad to see it, because at one time, Babylon was a golden cup, right? That was where the headquarters of Yahweh's work was, from the Philadelphia era, going back to the pilgrims, all the way up until maybe 20, 30, 40 years ago. But no more. No more is Babylon. And not only isn't it where Yahweh's working anymore, as we're going to see, the voice of the bride and the voice of the bridegroom will never, ever be heard in her again. So whoever is staying there, and I'm not saying, you know, leave tomorrow, but leave tomorrow. Really, I mean, because of the voice, that means nobody there is part of the bride. You're not going to stay there and make it through the end time. It's that simple. So unless you plan on dying between now and then, and who knows, could be 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, I have no idea. I think it's very close to Babylon being destroyed. But to me, it doesn't really matter if Yahweh is going to destroy it in 10 or 20 years, because what I know is spiritually, it is the cesspool of the world. Spiritually, I say, like, if the Apostle Peter or the Apostle Paul was resurrected today and they got to see the whole world, and Yeshua said to them, you know what? I'm going to give you the choice. I'll let you go wherever you want to go bear fruit for the kingdom, because there's only a couple of years left. What do you think would be the last place on earth they'd be choosing to go? It would be America. It really is. It's a cesspool not only of religion, it's a cesspool of filth, of everything with sexual exploitation. I mean, it's just an evil, evil, evil place. You know, and there's not a lot of good things coming out of there. And that's why he's telling his people, get out of there so you don't share in her sins and receive of her plagues. Because if the people of Yahweh don't get out of there, they are also going to go through those plagues. It's that simple. Jeremiah 50 and verse 8. Jeremiah 50 and verse 8. Flee from the midst of Babylon and go out of the land of the Chaldeans as the he-goats before the flock. So very clearly, flee the land of Babylon. It's not a religion. It's not a pagan festival. Babylon is a place. It is a literal place. Verse 44 and 45, the same chapter. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of the Jordan against the home of the brave, but I will make them suddenly run away from it. And who is a chosen one? I will point over it, for who is like me? And who will summon me? And who is a shepherd who will stand before me? So hear the counsel of Yahweh that he planned against Babylon, and his purposes which he has purposed against the land of the Chaldeans. Surely they shall drag them, the least of the flock. Surely he will make their dwelling place desolate over them. So very, very clear, it's going to become a desolation forever. Zechariah 2 and verse 7. Zechariah 2 and verse 7. He says, woe, O Zion, escape, you who live with the daughter of Babylon. So also to the Jews that are living there, right? You have 6 million Jews living in America. And the same kind of thing, you know, many of them chose not to come to the homeland that they have here. And Yahweh is saying the same in the end time. You know, it may have been a safe haven during the Holocaust for many of the Jews, but it's not going to be a safe haven for what's coming now. Back to Revelation 18. And why? Why is he saying, my people, you leave the land for my people that you may not share in her sins and you may not receive of her plagues? Because her sins joined together even reach up to heaven, and Yahweh remembered her unjust deeds. Her sins joined together have reached up to heaven. And like I said, when you look on that land that's filled with all kinds of wickedness, of homosexuality, you know, teaching children 5, 6 years old, having transgenders come in and do reading to them. I mean, just messing up children for life over there. The sins that are going on in that country, beside the fact of it just being a land of covetousness, of greed, and every kind of wickedness that Yahweh says. Jeremiah 51 and verse 7. Jeremiah 51 and verse 7 says, Babylon was a golden cup in the hand of Yahweh, making all the earth drunk. The nations have drunk her wine, therefore the nations are mad. And like we said, it was a golden cup at one time. It was the Philadelphia congregation at one time. They brought the most Bibles, they sent the most missionaries, but no more. Suddenly Babylon has fallen and it is broken. Wail for her, take balm for her pain, if perhaps she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her and let us go, each to his own country, for her judgment reaches to the heavens and is lifted up to the skies. And like we said before, that word lift up, it's Nasa. Nasa. Her sins are lifted up. And if you look into Nasa, Nasa is very, very demonic. You know, with everything that they're doing there and a lot of stuff with demons. And it's, I'm not going to get into it now, but it's something to really check on. But it's not a good organization. Because Yahweh didn't make us to go up to the planets, right? He gave dominion to human beings on the earth. And I think there's enough to handle down here, right? That human beings are trying to figure out how to get up to the planets up there, and then what? You know, what is the purpose of it? Revelation 18, verse 6, give back to her as also she gave back to you, and double to her according to her works. And the cup which she mixed, mix to her double. And, you know, there's a double punishment that comes on Babylon. The first one is going to be Babylon's sovereignty taken away. It's a group of nations coming from the north, you know, Russia, China, North Korea, and they'll overtake Babylon, right? But then later, right before Yeshua returns, it's going to be a angelic cosmic event that will happen where everyone that's left there in Babylon will die. It's that simple. But he says, give back to her double. Why? Because of all the things when you look, you know, and it really is, it's so much hypocrisy when America tries to come up with this exceptionalism that they say, and they try, you know, this whole thing now with Russia, right? The evil empire, Russia, Russia, Russia. And you look at these congressmen that are really very, very evil, you know? So they're only using Russia as a ploy because it fits them now. But Russia has been meddling in elections for the last 50 years, as America has. You know, America, when the last election here in Israel, when Bibi Netanyahu was running again, President Obama, he set up a pact here and put a lot of money in trying to get Netanyahu to lose. So America does the same thing. Look what they do all over the place. You know how they do? They go into a country, they destroy it, and then they bring their own people in, Afghanistan. Now they want to do it with Iran. So if there's anybody that's meddling in other people's business, it's Babylon. That's why they're called, in Jeremiah 50:23, the hammer of the earth. Because it means they're a nation who pounds other nations. They pound other nations. And tell me, who's pounding other nations, right? So we can discuss maybe Russia's wrong for going into Ukraine or Crimea, but they're not pounding everyone all over the earth. You know, if they're trying to rebuild their empire, whatever, you, maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong. But why would America be coming to Afghanistan? Why would they be going to Iraq? Why would they be going to all these places all over the earth? You know, and there's nobody else on earth that has military bases everywhere on earth except the United States. Nobody, not even close. So that's why these countries hate, like we read last week, they hate the whore, they hate Babylon, and they want to destroy her. Give back to her double, and the cup which she mixed to her double. Verse 7. By what things she glorified herself and luxuriated. By so much give back to her torment and mourning, because she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, I'm not a widow, and I shall not see sorrow. So what other country on earth, be honest, I'm not talking about the sheiks in Saudi Arabia. I'm talking about the regular people there. Are they living like kings? Of course not. But the average American is living better than 80% of people in the world. You know, it's that simple. So it's a country that's like he says here, by what things she glorified herself, luxuriated, give back to her torment and mourning. Because she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, I'm not a widow, I still not see sorrow. And I've probably had it told to me more than 100 times. Nah, American can never go down. We're stronger than anybody. We'll take care of it. No one can beat us. And I say, you just fulfilled this prophecy. Thank you very much. You just fulfilled chapter 18 and verse 7. Because that's what Babylon says. She'll never see sorrow. She sits as a queen. If we go to Isaiah 47, 5 through 9. Isaiah 47, 5 through 9. And it starts out, go down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the earth. A throne is not to the daughter of the Chaldeans. Right. So let's go down to verse 6 now. Or verse 5 rather. Sit in silence and go into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For they shall no more call you the Lady of Kingdoms. Right. The Lady of Kingdoms. United States of America. The Statue of Liberty. Right. The Lady of Kingdoms. I'll read a footnote there. It says, Babylon is represented as a woman In the archives found in Iraq, it states that Ishtar, the false goddess of Babylon, was the mother of immigrants. She had a 7-spike crown on her head, in either a torch or a golden cup in her hand, and the law book of Hammurabi in the other hand. She also had red and purple garments, like we saw in Revelation 17. So, wow, that's not the Statue of Liberty, or Libertas is where it comes from. The Roman goddess Libertas. Who is Ishtar? The Romans call her Libertas. The Babylonians call her Ishtar, or Ishtari. So, very, very interesting. I was angry with my people. I defiled my inheritance and gave them into your hand. You gave them no mercy. You made your yoke on the aged very heavy. And it's really evil in Yahweh's eyes what they're doing to the older people, right? They're keeping them all drugged up. They're keeping them on all these pills. And then they want to hold it against the people. They have the price of all this medicine really, really high. And they're getting the people addicted and hooked on it. And then if you don't do this, you're not getting your medicine. And then Yahweh's saying here, it's evil. It's evil what they're doing to the older people in Babylon. And you said, I shall be a mistress forever, until you did not set these things in your heart and did not remember its end. Now then, hear this, O pleasure seeker, who lives carelessly, who says in her heart, I am and none else is. I shall not sit as a widow, nor shall I see the loss of children. But these two things shall suddenly come on you in one day, loss of children and widowhood. According to completeness, they come on you for your many sorceries, for the power of your great spells. Right? And we'll see as we get into Revelation 18 in verse 23, right? By your sorceries, all the earth was deceived. The word is pharmakia, by your medicines, right? That they're using. Not that all medicine is bad, but Babylon is overusing medicine. They're trying to get people. I think my dad takes 9 pills a day. You know, this pill is because of the side effects of this pill, and that pill is for the side effects. Half the pills, I don't even think he knows what they're even for, you know. But it's evil. They're just, because every pill, they're charging $40 a pill. And there's been times he said there was pills they wanted him to take for something, and like one pill was like $500. I mean, what could be in that pill? But it's the evil, evil system that Babylon has. How they're taking advantage of people with this. So back to Revelation 18. So that's what she says, and we all see it, right? We've seen it. Nobody can beat us. Babylon is America is the greatest. We can take care of ourselves. You know, everywhere you look, because she says in her heart, I sit as a queen and I'm not a widow and I will not see sorrow. Because of this, verse 8, in one day her plague shall come, death and mourning and famine, and she will be consumed with fire, for Yahweh Elohim judging her is strong. And we saw a little taste of that in the last month, horrible as it was in California with those fires. There's still hundreds of people that are missing in those fires and whole towns, you know, the irony of it, the town called Paradise is completely gone. Whole towns just wiped away. So one thing is certain, money and possessions and mammon in the day of calamity is not going to save you. Because these areas where this happened, some of the most famous, richest people in the world live over there and had their houses destroyed. So when Yahweh's judgment comes, like it says in Ecclesiastes, to the rich or to the poor, one thing happens to all of them. To dust we come, to dust we shall return. Yahweh judging her is strong. Revelation 17:16. And the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot and will make her desolated and naked. They will eat her flesh and burn her down with fire. So it's talking about, like we said, this beast power, whether it will still be called the United Nations or something else, but this global government that Babylon formed, and Babylon was riding and controlling, they're going to overthrow her and destroy her, and they hate her. And it's very interesting because even now, Europe, that since the end of World War II has been a big ally of America, even Europe now is coming out and saying, we need our own army. We can't rely on America anymore. And there's a lot of friction that's going on, and who knows where it's going to, except we see what Revelation says here. Because of this, in one day her plagues will come, death and mourning, famine, and she will be consumed with fire, for Yahweh Elohim, judging her, is strong. And the kings of the earth will weep for her and wail over her, those having fornicated and having luxuriated with her, when they see the smoke of her burning, standing from afar because of the fear of her torment, saying, "Woe, woe to the great city Babylon, the strong city, for in 1 hour her judgment came." So, first of all, sometimes people will say, well, look, why is it called a city and not a nation? And we already said this in ancient times. As a matter of fact, our guide in Jordan a couple of weeks ago was just saying the same thing, that in ancient times, how the name of the city was the nation. Assyria was a city, it was a nation. Rome was a city, it was a nation. Right? Babylon was a city, it was a nation. So this is what it's saying here. The city is reminiscent of the country. But they're standing afar off for the fear of a torment, saying, "Woe, woe to the great city Babylon, the strong city, for in 1 hour your judgment came, and the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her, because no one buys their merchandise anymore." Our footnote, verse 9 to 11, the merchants of the earth are weeping, wailing, because no one is buying their merchandise. The United States of America is the only country in the world that if it were destroyed overnight, it would completely crash the world economy. The USA imports about 25 to 30% of the whole world's goods and is by far the greatest consumer nation on earth. If one is honest with himself, no other nation on earth even remotely fits the scripture but USA. So we have, I think, officially 188 or 192 countries that are recognized by United Nations, and then you have about another 10 or 20 that are territories. So you have more than 200 places on earth where people are living, and America is almost a third of the whole earth with consuming people's junk. So that's why China can put all this junk together with all of this, you know, bad paint and lead that's hurting children. And as long as you can get in the dollar store, people think it's great, you know. But be careful. Be careful, because you get what you pay for, as like they said. But what I want to do is, we're here now, right? Babylon has 70 years to rule, and then Yahweh's going to destroy them. And we're right at the end of those 70 years. We don't know exactly, but we know we're not in the first 5 years, or the second, or even third decade. We're right toward the end of Babylon's reign. But what I want to show you is, when Babylon started, when this whole New World Order started, right, around 1950, do you think it was very hard to know who Babylon was in the very beginning? Because remember, Babylon is the world's greatest power, but as we're seeing here, Babylon is losing that power. So now, we're looking at it at the end of Babylon, and she's still the biggest power in the world. Militarily, economically, financially, socially, who created the internet? Not Al Gore, but it was America, right, that created the internet. But look back in 1950. Let me read you some of these statistics from 1950 just to show you how strong America was. World petroleum output in 1950 was almost 3,800 million barrels. Of this total, the United States alone produced more than half, 52%. So now, when if you're living in 1950, and now it's the beginning of the end time, and you're trying to figure out who Babylon is, world petroleum, America, one country out of 200 is producing more than half. But that's not the end of it. 1950, Britain and America mined 1.5 times as much coal as all the other nations combined. Every nation on earth would mine coal, and America and Britain mined 1.5 times every other nation on earth combined. In 1950, the United States alone produced 60% of the steel worldwide. 60%. 60% of all steel came only from the United States. Of the foodstuff, including milk, cheese, butter, beef, United States produced about 1/4 of the world's total in 1950. 1/4 of all the food in the world. And think about this as I'm going to read everything that Babylon will not be producing anymore. In 1950, United States alone produced 73% of all the automobiles in the world. 73% in 1950. In 1948, Americans owned 47% of the world's radio sets and 69% of the world's television sets. All of them in the whole world. Like I said, you got 200 countries, entities, whatever, and one country is owning 69%, almost 7/10 of every television set that's there. Then you have United States produced 1 1/3, only United States produced 1 1/3 times as much pig iron as every other nation on earth combined. 1 1/3 times as much pig iron. 1948, U.S. possessed nearly 95% of the world's nickel. 95% of all the world's nickel in 1948. 80% of the world's aluminum. 75% of the world's zinc. So come on. Let's be honest. I mean, you're talking about one nation monopolizing everything. And this is what I'm trying to say. America did not just become Babylon from nothing. Yahweh put the resources there so that they could fulfill this end time Babylon. And from this time, they've only been going down because they have not been fulfilling what Yahweh wants them to fulfill. But 95% of the world's nickel, 80% aluminum, 75% of the zinc. America produced in 1950 2/3 of the world's rubber and dominated the world's copper, lead, tin, and other precious metal outputs. In 1950, the United States had 3 times as much gold reserve as the total of the rest of the world combined. 3 times. So if you put all the world together with their gold, times that by 3, that's how much America had. And you want to know something before World War II? One of the reasons for this is because many of those countries, even Germany, put their gold in America. They had their gold in Fort Knox. And even today, Germany's trying to get some of that gold back in the last few years. But all the gold in the world, and America had 3 times that. America produced and utilized 2/3 of the world's output of electricity in 1950. Great Britain and United States possessed well over half of the world's merchant fleet tonnage. So in 1950, every single fleet around the world that's going, more than half of it was coming from America and Great Britain. And what happens when these shipmasters are standing off the shore and they're sighing and crying because no one buys their merchandise anymore? As you come into the harbor of New York, where the ships would come, what's the first thing you see? Welcome to Babylon in the big water tower, coming from Babylon, New York. And somebody was telling me at the feast, I'm trying to remember who it was, they said, I looked it up on Google Map, and I actually saw it. They said, you can see it on Google Map, the big water tower. I've been there many times. I used to have a courier service, and I used to have to go to New York. It's in Long Island. It's a town called Babylon. Only other place in the world beside Babylon in the Middle East that's called Babylon. There's no coincidences with Yahweh. And also in 1948, America produced half of the world's railroad mileage. Half of it. So, in this last generation that starts with Israel being a nation, and also Babylon is a part of that at that time, right? How could anybody with a straight face, or anybody that could look at this and say anything but that Babylon is United States of America? And especially where we see things now. And like I said, there even though in more than 6 decades that every decade Babylon's strength has declined, even today, there's still by far, there is nobody on earth. And a matter of fact, if you watch the news, it's the same thing over and over and over. Right in the regular news, they'll say, well, how does it feel to be the world's only superpower? There is no other world superpower. They're afraid in the next 10, 20 years, China could become a world superpower. Russia has been trying to become a superpower. They don't have the economy to do it. But there is no other superpower in the world than United States of Babylon. It's that simple. So now, as we go into this, let's look now. So as I'm reading all of these statistics, let's look what happens in verse 11 of Revelation. When the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her, over Babylon, because no one buys their merchandise anymore. Never again will there be trading of merchandise of gold, right? How much? Who had all the gold? America? Silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, all aromatic wood, every ivory vessel, every vessel of precious wood, and of bronze, iron, marble, cinnamon, perfumes, ointment, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, right? The wine, the oil, and the flour is not in Babylon anymore, meaning Yahweh's blessing is completely gone. Wheat. Nobody produces more wheat in the world than America. And America used to have years of stored grain. And America, far more than anybody, gives that grain all over the world, right? But not so much anymore. And beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and bodies and souls of men. And that's the sad part, that most people there have no idea that they are slaves to that system. They don't realize they're slaves to that system. And it really, it is a system of slavery. Because this evil, wicked, world trading empire that these world bankers have created in the United States has enslaved the people there as much as the other people around the world. And, you know, when you look around the world, like Ivory Coast, right? And they're selling children for $50 to go into cocoa fields because all these companies from America, right? Kellogg's and Nestle and all these big conglomerate countries and companies in America, they're enslaving all these people and literally using children's slavery. And parents will sell their child for $50 because this system of Babylon has kept the poor poor and the rich richer. So with all these trillions of dollars Babylon has, and still 80% of the world lives on $5 a day or less. How can that be? Because it's an evil, wicked system. And they're not even happy to have all the money. They want to enslave every single person on earth. You know, and either you come under the yoke or you're gone. And this is why Yahweh has had it, and Yahweh is going to punish Babylon. And the people that have been living these good lives over there and living in luxury, and saying it will never happen to us. We're the greatest military. Oh, let them try. Who's going to attack us? Who's going to attack us? You'll see. You will see who will attack you. Because it really doesn't matter who does it. What matters is Yahweh's word said it. And it's going to happen. And it's going to happen pretty soon. It's going to happen pretty soon. So here it is. And the other thing that's interesting, when it mentions all these 25 things that Babylon trades, only in the United States is their commodity market to trade these things. So if you want it tomorrow, you want to trade any kind of grain, you want to trade wheat, go tomorrow. You can trade $1 million of wheat. You can buy it, you can sell it, you can buy it 1 hour, sell it another hour. Only in the United States do they have the commodity exchange to trade all these things every day you want. So even then, you know, there's always going to be a buyer and a seller. That's the way it works. That's the way it works with Babylon. And that's the way they're doing it. But they literally made bodies and souls of men slaves. And verse 14. And the ripe fruits that your soul lusted after have went away from you. And all things delicious and splendid have perished from you. And you shall obtain them no more. You know, I think about that. And maybe there is. I mean, I haven't been to every place on earth. But I've been to a lot of places. And all I know is any place I've ever went to, whether it was Central South America, Europe, Asia, anywhere, Middle East, you can only buy fruit when it's in season. You know, like now, there's not watermelon, it's not in season. Go to Babylon, you can buy it. You can buy whatever you want all year long in Babylon. Strawberries, watermelon, you name it. Whatever you like, it's there. And the ripe fruits of your soul lusted after and have went away from you. And all things delicious and splendid have perished from you, and you shall obtain them no more at all. That's the only place I know anywhere in the world where you don't have to look to buy things in season. You know, that you could buy anytime you want. The merchants of these things, the ones being enriched from her, will stand from afar because of the fear of her torment, weeping and mourning, and saying, woe, woe to the great city, having been clothed in linen and purple and scarlet, right? Very, very rich. And having been girded with gold and precious stone and pearls. For in 1 hour, such great wealth was desolated. And every ship pilot and all company in the ships and the sailors and as many as worked the sea stood afar off and cried, seeing the smoke of her burning, saying, what other is like the great city? And on the west coast and the east coast, you know, you could see it from California, and you see it in New York and in the East Coast. When these ships come in with these big containers, I mean, they have these places that hold them. I mean, thousands and thousands. If you're looking from the air, you would think it's like some kind of Lego game or something. And it's not. It's literally hundreds of thousands of containers that are there. And it's amazing, like it says. And they're all crying out, seeing the smoke of a burning, saying, what other is like the great city? Nobody has ever been. And that's why you have to say to yourself, if we are really in the last generation, which there's no doubt we are, there's no way America, not only being the world superpower, but America runs the world. Everything happening in the world is because of America or caused by America, that they would not be in prophecy. There's no way. They have to be somewhere there. And they are. And it's Babylon. And they threw dust on their heads and cried, weeping and mourning and saying, woe, woe to the great city, by which all those having ships in the sea were rich from her costliness, because in 1 hour she was ruined. Rejoice over her, heaven and cherubs and the holy apostles and the prophets, because Yahweh has judged your cause on her. So this is where maybe somebody, this is the one place where maybe someone is confusing, because there is a judgment previously that happened on Jerusalem that came because right would happen when Israel and Judah were unfaithful, that Yahweh said he would destroy the city and he would kick them out, but he never said he would destroy Jerusalem forever. So what's happening is Yahweh is taking the punishment of Judah and Israel and he's putting it on Babylon. So let's go to a couple of scriptures to see this. Jeremiah 7 and verse 34. Jeremiah 7 and verse 34. He says, then I will cause the voice of gladness to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem, even the voice of joy and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall become a waste. So he's talking about this in context of when ancient Babylon was coming to destroy Israel. And it is very interesting that it's ancient Babylon that destroyed Jerusalem, and now Yahweh is taking the punish from ancient Judah and putting it on end time Babylon. He's taking the punishment of end time of Judah and putting it on end time Babylon. Jeremiah 25 and verse 8. Jeremiah 25 and verse 8. So says Yahweh of hosts, because you have not obeyed my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, says Yahweh, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and I will bring them against this land and against those living in it, and against all these nations all around, and I will completely destroy them and make them a horror and a hissing and everlasting ruins. And I will take from them the voice of rejoicing and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstone and the light of the lamp. And this whole land shall be a waste and horror, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall be when 70 years are fulfilled, I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation and the land of the Chaldeans for their iniquity, says Yahweh, and I will make it everlasting ruins. So yes, did Yahweh allow Judah to be punished? Absolutely. Is it an eternal punishment? No. And what does he say? After 70 years, Babylon is going to be judged. And Babylon will be judged forever. Jeremiah 33 and verse 10. Jeremiah 33 and verse 10. So says Yahweh, again there shall be heard in this place. So now he's talking about the restoration of Jerusalem. So says Yahweh, again there shall be heard in this place, which you shall say, which you say shall be waste without man and without beast, and the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are desolated without man, without one living in it and without beast, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of those saying, praise Yahweh of hosts, for Yahweh is good, for his mercy endures forever. Those who shall bring the sacrifice of thanksgiving into the house of Yahweh, for I will bring back the captivity of the land as at the first, says Yahweh. So now this is what he's saying. Where at first it was said destruction, now he's saying he's bringing it back. So says Yahweh of hosts, again, in this place, Jerusalem, which is a waste without man or beast, and in all cities shall become homes of shepherds, causing flocks to lie down. Then he goes into the mountains in the Shephelah and the Negev, how he's going to be bringing back all the land there. So this is what happens in the end time. Verse 20 again of Revelation 18. Rejoice over her, heaven, and you cherubs, the holy apostles and the prophets, because Yahweh has judged your cause with her. Yahweh is taking Israel's punishment and he puts it on end time Babylon. And a cherub took a stone like a great millstone. I'm back in Revelation 18 now, verse 21. And cast it into the sea, saying, so shall Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and shall no more be found. And the sound of harpers and musicians and flutists and trumpeters will not still be heard in you, never. And every craftsman and every craft will not be found in you, never. And the sound of a mill will not be heard in you, never. So Babylon will not be producing anything anymore. And the light of a lamp will not shine in you, never. And the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride will not be heard in you, never. We were just reading this. For your merchants were the great ones of the earth. For by your sorceries, your pharmakia, all the nations were deceived. Like I said, America, I mean, it's bigger than oil, the drug industry in America. Merck, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, I mean, it's gigantic. It's a hundreds of billions of dollar business keeping everybody sick. And that's why, I mean, I've seen myself, I've met people that were doctors that confirmed this. I've seen interviews with people that came up with cures, people claiming they had cured a cancer, and what happens? The person winds up dead, or they'll give them $1 million to take his thing and rip it up, because they don't want to get people well. They want to keep people sick, because that's part of the whole thing of Babylon. Jeremiah 51 in verse 48. Jeremiah 51 in verse 48. Then the heavens and the earth and all that is in them shall shout for Babylon, for the plunderer shall come to her from the north, says Yahweh. As Babylon is to fall for the slain of Israel, so for Babylon the slain of all the earth will fall. You who have escaped the sword, go away, do not stand still. Remember Yahweh afar off, and let Jerusalem come into your mind. So, very, very clearly, we see here that Babylon is not going to survive. They are not going to survive this. The people have to leave there, and they have to flee. Revelation 17, 10 and 11, one chapter back. And the kings are seven, five fell and one is, the other is not yet come, and when he comes, he must remain a little. And the beast which was and is not, even is the eighth, and is of the seventh and goes into perdition. So we see that this is what's going to happen here. As verse 24 of Revelation 18. And in her was found the blood of all the prophets and saints and all the ones having been slain on the earth. So why is that? Because of the beast that's coming to destroy Babylon. And it's going to be a bloodbath. You know, you're talking about right now 330 million people living there. And if not one person is going to be left, then you better believe a lot of people are going to die. You know, they're going to die by some of the things that Yahweh has coming, maybe tsunamis and who knows what, but they're also going to die in the war that's coming there that Babylon's going to lose. Because Jeremiah says that the fighting men in Babylon become like women. They're shaking in their boots. And it's hard to imagine that because America has the strongest army in the world. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen because the Bible says it. And like I said, this last scripture here was found in her, the blood of the prophets and saints and all the ones having been slain on the earth. There were seven world empires, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, and the New World Order is the eighth of the seventh. But, you know, like we said last week, that in the end, the great whore, the land of Babylon, who created this world system, and the global powers that be, They do not want, you know, they resent the fact that America is running everything. You know, there's two different factions that you have when you're looking at the global system, you know, because it comes from Freemasonry, and you have the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, you have the York Rite of Freemasonry. The York Rite, that's why New York, where does it come from? From the York Rite of Freemasonry. They're the international bankers. They're the ones that are the money. They're the ones who, over the last 150 years, have won elections from mayors and local councilmen all the way up to President of the United States. And then the Scottish Rite are the ones that are more into nature worship. That's why they want global warming, and they want to talk about all these things and don't harm the animals. And there's a friction there, because the American, the Babylonian one, that is all into the York Rite, you know, in the money side, and the other side that's into the Gaia worship and all that, there's a friction there. And it's getting ready to break, because, like we're saying, Europe does not want America's on their back. They want to do this, and we're going to see what happens in the coming days and months, and maybe a couple of years. But as it stands now, wow, we read these prophecies, and it doesn't take up a lot of imagination, because it's happening already. We're seeing it happening. And like I said, Babylon's best days are over. And if you look at it, every single world empire, including Rome, which was really the last big world empire, what took Rome down? You know, what people thought the same thing. How could Rome ever go down? Who could equal Rome in power and might? And you know what took Rome down? Immorality, sexual sin and immorality. And you don't have it worse any place on the world than in America with these things. It is such a vile, sick, immoral system. And it's hard to imagine that they're still called a Christian nation, when you have even Christian churches that will have openly gay pastors, you know, and say it's okay. Because, again, what they do, they had to water down Yahweh's word. They had to get rid of the Torah. And now everything is just a demonic type of love, because it's not real love to accept things that are going to bring eternal death to people. So we are going to stop there. That will end our study for now on End Time Babylon. Whole chapters. Jeremiah 50 and 51. Isaiah 47. Isaiah 13. Revelation 17 and 18. You're not talking about a scripture here or there. You're talking about full chapters, all about End Time Babylon. It's an important subject, because End Time Babylon has set the stage for everything that's coming about. And End Time Babylon is going to be completely destroyed, as Yahweh said. So it's important for the times we're living in, because here we are at that crossroads. So next week, we'll get into Revelation 19, which is a great chapter about the bride of Messiah. And then we will continue from there. But Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.